podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hey, welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast. This is the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite shoes and get out there. Hey, this is Chris, your host, and wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great. I hope you're doing as great as I am. And I hope you're getting your run in today because I know I'm getting my run in today. And every day running is a good day. Each podcast, we're going to have a full agenda here. We've got some inspiration and some tips to keep you moving forward. And in our featured segment, we're going to be interviewing, we're going to be speaking with an interesting member of our sport, and they're going to share their accumulated knowledge and wisdom with us, and that's going to be very entertaining because I know some interesting folks. We know that you like to listen to your iPod, and you especially like to listen to your iPod when you work out. So we planned this podcast, the Run, Run, Live podcast, to last about 40 minutes, so it's going to be perfect for your daily jog or your commute to work or your time on the Stairmaster. There's millions of normal, everyday folks like us who exercise a couple times a week or use running as a way to lead a balanced and happy and challenging sometimes lifestyle. And would you like to learn from them? Because I've had the privilege over the last 10, 15 years to have kicked around the mid-pack of this sport for a while, and I've learned a ton about myself in running. I've met a whole bunch of incredible, sometimes odd, always interesting people, and we're going to try and share all this with you. So listen to the Run, Run, Live podcast and learn from the experts and the regular Joes and get that inspiration and affirmation that you need. All you have to do is go to the iTunes store, search on running, and subscribe to the Run, Run, Live podcast. It's free. It's going to be automatically downloaded to your iPod as new episodes become available. Also, you can come, once I get my website up and running, you can come to the Run, Run, Live website, run, run, live, all one word, .com, to get back episodes and show notes and check out my blog, the Runnerati blog, and other interesting, cool, and compelling bits of stuff. I'm not selling anything. I'm doing this because I love the sport, and I want to share my love with everybody here. So, are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run.
With a smile on his lips and a wiggle in his hips, he would always wait as he was passing by.
And now for our featured interview.
So welcome to episode one of the Run, Run, Live podcast. And today my interview is going to be with a good friend of mine. His name is Frank Rowe. And he's a friend of mine, local runner, great guy. Frank and I got quote-unquote serious about running about the same time, later in life for both of us, and we trained for a number of marathons together. We've got some great stories of some crazy races, like the time we ran Derry, the 16-miler in -3-degree weather, and all kinds of great, crazy stuff like that. But Frank's a public school teacher, father, husband, and he's a rock star. He's a member of the Merrimack Valley Striders, all-around great guy. Frank and I took different trajectories over the last couple of years. While I was focused more on my running is more recreational, training and racing, Frank set a goal to get faster, and he and another friend of mine decided they were going to break 3 hours at Boston. You'll hear Frank talk about that. It's pretty funny because they really went whole hog. And, you know, we're no spring chickens, so it's interesting how you really can't let age be your guide because Frank just keeps getting faster the older he gets. And Frank achieved his goal of a sub-three-hour Boston this year with a tremendous effort. Frank's a great example of a reasonably well-balanced amateur athlete who brings a ton of class to our sport. So I want you to please enjoy this talk. But first, what I'm going to play is one of Frank's hit singles from the Billboard Top top 50 here. This is called Cooking, Cleaning Kids, and then right after that we'll launch into the interview with Frank. Frank's been playing in this band, The Nays, and you can find their website, The Nays website. Just search on The Nays and you can download some of their music. But he's been playing this in this band with his high school buddies since, I think, 1979. I don't know. He plays, they set up and play at our at the Groton Road Race, our road race every year, and they're fantastic. So without further ado, you'll hear a song here that Frank co-wrote, and that's Frank on the drums, and then we'll have a little talk.
Pull up with your leg so you're doing reflex flexor, reflex flexor. You just got to work the thing so it's your hip flexors are way too tight.
Hey, so do you have like a physical therapist on call?
Oh, definitely.
like living in your spare bedroom.
Like she's on speed dial 4, right after my wife. I secretly funnel her money every other week just to keep her. It's a retainer.
It's a retainer. Other people have mistresses. Runners have therapists.
I'm right.
And massage people on speed dial.
If I didn't have her, well, I'd be even more difficult to live with.
That's part of your secret to your longevity, huh?
That and staying under 128 pounds.
Yeah, I was looking at. You're absolutely fat compared to the guys who won the Mount Washington Road Race on Saturday.
What are these guys like? A buck 18, buck 20.
Yeah, they're like quadriceps with stick arms, you know.
But, what, Eric Blake? Who won it, Eric Blake?
I don't know. I was looking at the results this morning. Of course, you know, people always ask me that. How'd the winners look? And I go, you know, how would I know? And how they looked when they were passing me on the way down.
They look kind of happy.
Yeah, they look kind of happy. Right before the hairpin there at the 7 mile mark.
I do got to do that race.
That was a great race. I actually enjoyed it as much as you can enjoy that sort of sufferfest. I think if I had registered as a Clydesdale, I would have come in fifth in my age class.
Well, see, there you go. Got to do it next year.
There's definitely this thrust-to-weight ratio thing you got to be mindful of when doing the mountain series. That was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day.
Take it from Lance Armstrong. He had that down when he was climbing the Alps.
Yeah, so what are you training for?
Let's see. I did sign up for the Marathon Sports 5-miler in July.
Where is that?
That's a great one. That's over in Weston. And it's put on by the guy who owns Marathon Sports, Colin Petty, who I got to know a little bit because he's given us some money for our little local race here. Good guy. So he puts on a great race. You know, you get a nice Axel technical running shirt. Lots of food afterwards, pretty coarse. You run a little on the grass, then you go through some tree-lined neighborhoods, and then you're back on the grass for about nearly a mile at the end, which is kind of weird when you got like your legs are screaming and then you're on something soft.
Is it like golf course grass or?
Yeah, it's like playing field, soccer field grass. It's,
yeah.
You know, they got it. It's well-groomed, but still.
Yeah, that's much better than we ran the Cranmore Mountain Run last year, and it was like a ski slope in the summertime grass. The rocks and the gopher holes and the bushes and stuff. It's crazy. But yeah, I like the soft surfaces. You know, for us old guys, it's easy on the joints.
Exactly. So I don't mind it. It's just a bit of a change of pace. So we're doing that, and then we're doing, I just did send in my application for Yankee Homecoming, which pretty much means since I mailed it yesterday, it's going to be 92 up there.
Where is that?
It'll be 92 and hot. It's up in Yankee Home. It's Newburyport.
Oh, Newburyport.
Yeah, and you either got the 10-mile or the 5K, so I'm going to do the 10-miler.
Of course.
I gotta see if I have any endurance left in me because I back way down on the long run.
Are you hanging it up? Or are you gonna spin up a marathon in the fall?
I'm trying to get Brian Reeves to agree to something for the fall. First thing I'm tempting him with is the Apple Fest.
Oh, the half?
Yeah, and if we don't want to do the half because that is a
Bayer
of a course.
It's actually
good
course to get injured on because of all the steep downhills.
Exactly. I mean, you do scream through about mile 8 or 9, then it levels off, and then you meet your maker at about mile 11.
Yeah. Pretty course. Nice course.
Oh, absolutely beautiful. So I'll try to do that. I've got a good streak going there. I've done about 6 of them.
You guys should run that North Country Trail Marathon down in, outside of Baltimore that Ted McMahon and I ran.
Oh, that's right. You and Ted had qualifiers on that course.
Yeah, Ted ran like a 2:48 or something, so it's got to be about a quarter mile short. We like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, hey, it's still called a marathon. It's in the books.
It's in the books.
And what time of year is that now?
I think it was Thanksgiving weekend, which is a tough weekend.
Okay, so mid-November.
But that was one of those years where it took me 3 tries to get my number.
I remember that. You were chasing that for a good, well, 6-8 weeks.
Yeah, you gotta have your biorhythms.
Nice to be hungry, isn't it?
Yeah. So what's your advice for new runners or somebody who wants to take up our sport?
Well, start in moderation, because it'll only become epidemic and addictive within time.
It becomes addictive. You want to make sure you start slow so that when it becomes addictive, you don't hurt yourself.
Right, you have something left.
Or you don't hurt yourself too much.
Well, exactly, because I didn't start till I was serious, until I was in my late 30s.
Right, me too. I ran my first marathon when I was 34, and my first good marathon when I was 35.
Yeah, so you've had...
That's about the time you and I started training together.
I think it is. I think I got a little interested in the late 30s and then said to Gordon, ah, let's try one. We got to do a marathon before we're 40.
Right.
I think I had already done 3 at that point. But
I remember
wasn't good at it until, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Which is an interesting thing I keep trying to tell people. You're never too old to start running. It actually is an advantage at some point.
I do believe that, because I think there's a certain level of, let me say, just, well, I don't want to call it academic, but you do learn about, you train smarter, put it that way, and then you execute a little more carefully, and you you choosy about your races, and you learn to take disappointment in stride, and then you incorporate into your lifestyle. I'm not sure I could do that when I was 22. In fact, I know I couldn't do that.
No, I definitely couldn't do it.
Who's going to wake up when they're 22 years old and say, okay, I'm going to go for an 18-mile run. I'll be back in close to 2.5-3 hours.
Right, and then I'm going to have the discipline to make sure I stretch and do my speed work and all that stuff. Yeah, it's sort of a maturity thing. I think you're right.
Yeah, so, and then... And when you're old guys like us, you discover, hey, the old guys tend to be actually pretty quick.
Yeah, it's amazing in the long distance. You don't have the snap, but you have the pain tolerance and the maturity.
Yeah, exactly.
But your running career took a different trajectory from mine a few years back when I decided I wasn't going to try that hard anymore. And you guys, you and Brian, went ahead and got a coach and went out to break your 3-hour marathon time.
Right. I mean, that was a good incentive. Unfortunately, it was doable. It wasn't one of those things that was like, okay, I'm going to run a 2:40. That ain't happening. But we said, okay, we can do this 3-hour thing. Took a couple tries, but...
So this year, was this your fastest Boston Marathon this year?
Yeah, this was it. This was putting all the coins in the hopper, so to speak, or whatever the expression is.
So
this was cashing it in.
Yeah, I saw Frank after the marathon, as I have for the last 10 years. And Frank always gives 100%, and he cracks me up, because I always like that expression, give 100%, because if you really gave 100%, you'd be dead, right?
I was 99.8.
And you get as close as I know, anybody I know, to actually kill it yourself.
Well,
so,
Perhaps it was the fetal position on the queen-size bed in the hotel afterwards that convinced you I might have left it all out there, because I was a hurting pup.
Yeah.
Oh.
I
don't remember too much of Kenmore Square, but I just remember my running gait was a little different the last three-quarters of a mile.
So
one leg wasn't wasn't quite keeping up with the other.
So tell us a story about how you kind of stopped and with 2 miles to go and said, okay, this is it.
Yeah, I think it's that old little downhill, maybe going into Coolidge, whatever the last. Yeah, and I think it was 23. I did give myself permission to walk like 10 seconds, not even at a water stop, but I was just okay. I did have a little under like 5K to go, and I said, okay, this is possible. I was able to do some math, but man. I ran, you know, keeping the Sitco sign in sight, and then I really only wanted to get to Kenmore because I figured if I could get to Kenmore, come on, you can do a mile.
Yeah.
But this year was different. I got to Kenmore, and I honestly thought, well, normally I think I can get in. I'm not so sure. But I don't know what happened. But I checked my splits. I didn't fall off too bad the last mile. I was like 30 seconds over what I should have been running. That isn't terrible. You know, that's not complete crash. But it was. If it had been a 27-mile race, pack me in ice and send me home.
Yeah, so you said the course was closing in on you coming down.
I didn't enjoy any of the nice stuff you usually enjoy on Boylston. You know, you usually raise your hands and soak it in. I was like, get me away from this course. But I told Brian, the guy I trained with, and Dave, that I did make a decision at one point. I had upped the mileage a lot, done doubles a couple days a week, and I said, I am not willing to go through this again. So, daggone, I'm doing this under three. I'm doing this sucker under three if it kills me.
That's great. So what's we've got a lot of good running stories, you and I, of many races across New England in the freezing cold and the freezing rain and the hurricanes and everything else. But I've had a lot of fun. So why do you think you do this? Why do you run?
Oh, I think it's the mystery of it. There is a certain amount of mystery. You got to admit to running, especially training for a marathon. You're never quite sure what the training season. Like you said, you know, you're never quite sure some of those races we sent up for as training runs. What will Barry be like this year? What will Stu's, like, will we be running in sideways rain? Or could it be 85 degrees, some weirdness? There's a certain amount of mystery. And then when you show up, you know, on Patriots Day in April, there's a whole mystery right there. How good am I feeling? What's my attitude? You know, some of it is chasing a goal, but there is no way I'm not going to run Boston, even if I back off a goal. You know, like this coming year, I'd like to run it to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been doing that for 5 years, and it's a blast if you just run for fun.
Yeah, so that's the goal next year. That was the reward for putting it all out there this year. And Brian, same thing with Brian. I think he's inclined to run it easy. But honestly, what interests me about it is just that it's camaraderie. It's you know, finding out interesting stuff about yourself, other people, meeting some very unusual people like yourself, Chris.
Right. Right, and if you were one of the three people who's read my book, you'd recognize Frank's name.
Yeah, I'm one of those oddities.
So what's one of the things I learned from Frank, a couple of weird things, not so weird things. The first thing was the oatmeal for breakfast, which is my staple now. I have oatmeal every day for breakfast, and that's the best.
Oatmeal fires the engine, absolutely.
Absolutely. It's got that nice slow burn, some berries, some honey. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's the infamous ice bath after a long run.
Oh, did I get to have a lot of those this year. I think I hold the record for most ice baths in one marathon cycle. I exceeded, I'm not kidding, 20 ice baths. That's a lot of ice baths.
Yeah, if you can picture this, this means you go out and you beat the crap out of your body on some 20 or, you know, 18-mile course, and then you jump into a bathtub full of ice cubes. And water. It's quite an experience. If your heart doesn't stop then, man, it's never going to stop.
Right. I mean, it's slightly less pain than the actual marathon, but I figure that's part of the ritual.
It's sort of a Spartacus thing, huh?
And you just tell your children to please go down to the basement. You're on the top floor, you know, in the bathroom. And please, children, go down to the basement so you hear only muffled screams.
I actually call my kids. I'll come across the finish line, and I'll call my daughters and say, hey, fill up a bath and fill it with ice. I'm heading home. So I'll be ready when I get there in the jacuzzi. It's the only thing I use the jacuzzi for is ice baths.
Right. Well, yeah, turn off the heat. By the ice, fill it up. Oh, God. For us old guys, you got to do the ice bath. It's definitely recuperative.
Oh, yeah, it takes 2 days off. I should have taken one after Washington. I'm wobbling around a little bit today.
Yeah.
Down.
You'll have the rest of the week to kind of rebuild.
Yeah, I'm training for the Vermont 50. I signed up for the Vermont 50 in September.
Did.
Yeah. So I figured I can't go fast anymore, but I can always go longer.
Did you say September?
I said September. End of September. You want to go?
Well, maybe I'll run you in or something. I'm not sure a 50 is
no, it's
quite
easy.
In my...
The training's easier than training for a three-hour marathon.
Well, because it's all, like, basically it's all low-level aerobic, right?
Yep, yeah, it's all grind. I'm doing it all in the woods, so it's low impact.
Oh, you did sign up.
Yep.
You dog, you.
I'm in. I think the running, the bike sells out in... like 2 seconds, but
okay.
The run I think is open for a while. It's actually run. Huh. I passed some woman on Washington who's running 100, and when I left Washington and was driving home, her and her friend was still running down Route 16. I think she was running back to North Conway.
Good God!
So
well, yeah, right, because you're only getting about 7.5 out of Washington, so
yeah, but it's 1 hour and 40 minutes.
Good God.
So you got any cool technology recently?
Actually, I've gone the other way, Chris. I stopped. I run with a watch, but I'm not the wrist GPS guy anymore. I used to carry that thing.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to keep it simple.
I haven't quite
left the watch home for a run, but I'm doing more trail running because, you know what, you're right. You got to hit the soft stuff. And I live up here near State Forest, so.
Oh, well, I'll have to come see you when we go running.
Oh, there are
Burlington.
Some. If you can, withstand the horse flies, but just put a hat on and ignore them.
Yeah.
I got some beautiful trails here.
I went for five miles
yesterday. No, the day before yesterday, and was pretty much on all trails.
What kind of shoes are you running in now?
Whatever's under $50. I went through a bit of a shoe greed period. I have so many new shoes I'm rotating between some that I wanted to race like last fall, and I go up to the New Balance outlet. There's a place to get some deals if you're not like married to one particular shoe. Go up there. So I have some New Balance, a couple pairs of those.
That's a good tip.
And, man, you get some deep. I mean, good shoes for like $40-$45.
Oh.
Very good shoes, even less.
That's a good tip because I went down to Mark's in Acton.
He's pretty much full retail.
I love Mark, you know, and he always gives
a
discount.
Guy.
But it's like going to buy a car, you know. It's like, oh, you'd really like these.
Yeah, right. And
yeah, I'd like them, but I don't need them. So,
oh man,
he always talks me into something that's, you know, he's giving me a $40 discount, but it's still $40 over my budget.
Right. I was gonna say last year I placed in some race so that I won a certificate for a pair of shoes, like Saucony's. I never run in Saucony's, but so I go to some high-end running store and I say, okay, what is the most expensive Saucony you sell? And the guy's like, oh, that would be the, whatever, grid on me, I don't know, some friggin' thing. $145. I said, okay, I just want to try them on because I mail the certificate and I get these shoes. So I get them. But I asked the guy, so what makes these $140 shoes? And he says, oh, the materials are superior. And I'm like, wait a minute. You mean like the rubber's better rubber and like the nylon's better nylon? So I'm not sure what makes a $140 shoe, but I wore them. They were fine.
I got a pair of their trail shoes right now. My trail shoes are Saucony's, and I love them. I've had two pairs, and the last pair I put like 1,000 miles in.
Good God.
Yeah, and I'm a big guy, and
you would break down the shoes, I would think, 400 or 500 miles.
Yeah, but since it's in the woods, you know, it's a lot softer, right?
Well, that's true. Yeah, they just get a little patina on them, but they're fine.
Yeah, that's the next thing we got to do is figure out how to de-stink a pair of trail shoes.
Boil them in alcohol.
I tried that with my body in my 20s. It didn't work. I still stink.
Yeah, but you're still married, so it must work to some extent.
Yeah, 25 years next year. All right, man. I'll let you go back to whatever it is that you teachers do in the summertime.
I'm pushing a paintbrush today.
All right, you painting, can...
painting ceilings in Somerville today.
Yeah, you can go down to my house at Cape Cod and push a paintbrush around. We'll make a deal.
There you go. I can be talked into that. A couple of days with my family, I'll paint the whole place.
Exactly. All right, man. It was great talking to you.
It was good to talk. And I like the sound of lunch sometime and maybe some running around where your office is.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll hook up. And there's nothing really around here. It's ugly running around here. I'd rather find some trails.
Right. Well, we got trails up here, so maybe I can have you sneak up here after work, and then you can just jump on 485 to go home or something.
So you don't get this. I don't work for the public sector. I'm an executive. And I can leave anytime I want and do anything I want, as long as I deliver.
Right.
So you schedule
right,
the
Chris,
time.
We'll,
I'll meet you in the town forest.
Cool.
All right. We'll see you. Thanks
hey,
for the
good
time.
To chat, Chris. All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. With the weaker as I am, without telling Miss Waggy,
would always be a terminally happy guy. And now for the equipment check.
So this is Chris again. I wanted to talk to you about one piece of equipment I've got this year. I'm pretty... That's Buddy again, swimming in the pond now. He's out there up to his neck looking happy as a border collie in a pond, I guess, on this hot, steamy day. We just had thunder showers, and we're on the backside of this front, and everything's like this steam rising off the water. It's really cool. Kind of medieval. But we're out in the trail. I wanted to talk about this one piece of equipment I just got this year. I don't buy a lot of equipment because running's kind of a minimalist sport. But I'll tell you, this was a life-or-death situation. I was out here running last fall, and I got stung by some sort of critter, some sort of bee or something, a couple times in a row in the same week. And the second time, I went into anaphylactic shock. And I'm lucky in the sense that I know what it is. Both my parents suffered from this bee sting thing, and it's real common. So you got to watch for the symptoms. So I knew the symptoms when it started, and I did what I need to do to not die. So, but you can die from anaphylactic shock from bee sting. You can be stung by a bee a million times. It could be the type of bee. It could be just that day. Oh, there's a duck swimming out to the middle of the pond. He doesn't know he's not a Labrador. So I had to buy this something to carry my EpiPen in, which is basically a syringe full of adrenaline that if you get stung again while you're susceptible, you have to hit yourself with it, like that scene from Pulp Fiction where they put the big needle through. That's basically what it is. You wham this big needle into your thigh, and the adrenaline keeps your body from freaking out and dying. So I had to buy a pack. So I went and got what's called a Go Light Slant Pack, and this is a two-bottle baby. I bought it at EMS, and it cost me somewhere between $30 and $40, and it carries two big bottles in like a V that's supposed to sit on the back of your hips. I'll give you the good news first. The good news is it carries a ton of fluid. Basically, you get these two 24-ounce bottles, and that's a lot of fluid because I typically can run with one 24-ounce bottle in my hand. And so if I get two in the pack and one in my hand, that means I'm carrying a significant, you know, that's enough for me to go out on a hot day and run 20 miles and not be hurting, right? So that's good. And it's got this little zippered pocket in the middle where I can carry my recorder, which I'm talking to you on, and maybe your EpiPen or your Benadryl, which is what you want to do. If you think you're going to get bee allergy or any kind of allergy, you want to take some Benadryl with you. That'll hold it off. And by the way, the symptoms are you're going to start getting itchy. Your scalp will get itchy. You'll start getting hives, shortness of breath. You'll know it because you'll get hives in really uncomfortable places, like your armpits and other uncomfortable places. So you'll know. As soon as that starts happening, head for the emergency room. So anyhow, that's what's good about it. And I've run with it for some marathon-type distances. It's pretty good because, like I said, you can carry a lot of fluid, and you can carry a couple of goo packs and maybe a folded-up power bar and whatever else you need in here. Now, in terms of detrimental, of things that are not good, is sometimes the bottles bounce out. I mean, it's a lot of weight. If you're running fast, there's no way I could run fast. There's no way I could race with this thing. The bottles would fly out, and it would bounce all over the place. I haven't got any chafing yet, you know, and so it doesn't chafe. It's riding pretty good. But if I went fast, you know, on a long, slow run, it's fine. The bottles aren't going to jump out. But if you couldn't run fast with this thing on. The other thing is a standard Gatorade bottle or a standard water bottle or any of those commercial bottles, they won't fit in it. They'll fall through or they'll fall out. It's designed for these big fat bottles that it comes with, so you can't really improvise with other bottles with the pack. And the other interesting thing that I don't really like about it is the little zippered pocket is sort of triangle-shaped. So, you know, there's not too many things in my life that are triangle-shaped that I can fit in there. It doesn't have much capacity in terms of carrying stuff. Like, you couldn't put your wallet in there. So far, it's like ballistic nylon, and it hasn't started shredding yet. You know how you get those little shreddies that could cut in the zipper? You know, it hasn't started doing that yet, so it's been pretty rugged. It's not waterproof. It gets soaked. Like everything else I wear when I run, it gets soaked. And what else? And the only other thing is that there's no way you could open this while you're running to unzip it, get something out. You got to basically stop, spin the thing around, hold it with two hands to unzip it. And if you leave the zipper, if you don't close all the way, it'll open up on its own, and all your stuff will bounce out in the trail, and you won't know it. So I give it a thumbs up if you're going for a long run. It's really good. Some people like the fuel belts with all the little bottles on them, but this works well for me. So there you go. That's my product review for today.
And I want to get you on the air. So I've set it up so you can leave me an audio comment. And each week, or how often I manage to do this, I'll play the cool comments that we get. And somewhere in my show, I'll give something away to the person who leaves the best comment, some cool swag. So you have a tip for us? You got some great running or exercise product you want to tell us about? You got a cool, you know, training loop or an awesome race coming up? Call my K7 audio line and leave a message. I'll get the audio file, and if we like your comment, we'll make you a star. So get your pencil ready. You ready? Or better yet, program it into your cell phone. Call 206-339-7804. Just dial it up. Leave a message. That number again, 206-339-7804.
Hey, this is Chris. Just got finished having a little taka here. That's Australian for food at the bottom of the Mount Washington Road Race. Pretty cool, man. Sitting here in the valley, looking around. Got some scattered clouds. It's about 85 degrees. Those are motorcycles here in the background because it's bike week up here in Laconia. And so they're all driving up and down the mountain. I ran up, did pretty well. I ran back down, too. It took me the same amount of time to run up as it did to run down. Did it about 140. You know, I'm not... Nothing. But I felt comfortable. It was okay. It's not bad. 7.6 miles. But it was clouds at the top. Get at the top, it was cloudy and with 20-mile-an-hour wind. Worst weather in the world on Mount Washington. Pretty good race. I got to say, this is a well-organized, well-run, happy, friendly race. It's a great place. It's really pretty with the granite and the trees and I'm not looking forward to driving home now with these legs. That was about 2 more miles than I needed to do today. Those last two coming down, I think, shredded my quads pretty badly. So we'll see what happens with that. I got to go.
Well, all right. It looks like we're coming up on 40 minutes here of our podcast, so I'm going to let you guys go. I'll leave you with some music. Get my music from the PodSafe Music Network. If you have suggestions on what kind of music you want to hear, I can get it for you. Probably won't like mine. The next episode, I'm going to interview Anthony, and he's a great guy. He's a race director for the Air Fire Department 5K, and he's well tied into our sport. I'm going to leave you now with a band called Big Rain, and it's a peppy little country song called Not Running.